Whose tactic is correct? Allison's attempt at a peaceful handover or Otto's kill first, ask questions later?
Should Rainey's have roasted the greens when she had the chance?
And how much leg would Otto have to show to get Laris's favor over Allison's favor?
All those questions and more will be answered on this episode of
The Joffrey Podcast.
I've been very busy. Many important matters require a king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am king. I am king. I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am
your fingers or your
king. Doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plan.
I am
supergirl. Your fingers or your tongue.
I am
the king. I'm telling mother.
My name's Bubba, and with me as always is
Catfish.
Catfish. We just saw the penultimate episode of House of the Dragon. If you watched all 8 seasons of Game of Thrones, you know that the penultimate episode is where stuff goes down. What is your rating out of 10 for episode 9, The Green Council?
You mean The Search for Aegon? I thought that was what the name of this title was. Bubba, I am going to give this 7 out of 10, what I like to call double T's.
Double T's?
Yeah, double T's is where you spend your entire life with somebody. You share almost all their genes. They're your broham, but when it comes to a fight, they bail on you. That stands for terrible twins.
Whoa, Eric, 7 out of 10 is pretty
Eric
low.
Or Eric, actually, you know, Bubba, I'm going to predict something here without having seen anything.
Oh,
I'm going to predict that a lot of listeners are even lower than that. And I will tell you why, because just the way you mentioned, this is the penultimate episode. And usually for Game of Thrones, the penultimate episode was the episode where everything went down. The full action, the big set pieces. That didn't happen here. I hung out tonight to watch the next time on the season finale, and it looks like they've shifted that to 10. So I think everyone's expectations for what was going to happen here were super high, and they're going to be even more down than me. I dug most of it. I'm still a little confused. Allison really has not gone what I like to call full green yet. I would have thought she learned her lesson. We did learn some new things, and that is that Laris is no longer just satisfied with doing his job and moving up in power. He wants a little something in exchange for it. You know, that's fine. I mean, we know George R. R. Martin was a Giants fan, and so just like one of his old coaches, Laris likes a little bit of foot action.
Are you implying double R?
Double R.
Rex Ryan.
Yes, absolutely. Rex Ryan. This was Rex Ryan gave this episode 11 out of 10.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
There was a lot of moving parts. They did spend a much of the episode looking for Aegon. I don't know why, if I was Aemon, if I would not have just taken care of him when I got him. I also felt like they weren't exactly clear about why Otto and Allison both sent separate groups of people out and said, bring them directly to me. So later I'm going to ask you, Bubba, whether you thought Otto's intention for finding Aegon was different than Allison's intention. But otherwise, I thought it was enjoyable. It wasn't a typical episode 9 of a Game of Thrones show, but I think they're saving that for next episode. And then if people are disappointed with it, it was due to the expectations that this is where the fireworks would happen.
Mm.
What about you, Bubba?
Catfish, we do not talk about the episode before we start recording. We want to keep our opinions completely, completely separate so that you don't influence me. I don't influence you. We can give our honest takes. And listeners, we always say, who cares what we think? We want to know what you think. And we do that because we know we're just too silly fools, and that what we say really doesn't matter compared to your opinion, and your opinion does matter. And so I do all that preamble because, Catfish, I am going 7 double H's out of 10.
Double H's?
Well, double H's is a shout out to my boy Larry's. When you get heel horny, when you see a heel and you get horny, and that was the moment that felt the most alive. That was the moment that felt the most, wait, what is happening now? This is how Allison pays Larry's back. And so it was so shocking and weird. It was like, whoa, okay. Right. Laris has a nickname of the Clubfoot, very cruel nickname. And so, of course, seeing other people's feet gets his rocks off. I, like you, expected the fireworks factory. This wasn't the fireworks factory. I know in our small council debate later, we're going to go over Allison's kind of let's have a peaceful transition of power attempt and Otto's kill first, kill second, kill third.
Kill all.
Right.
And then there'll be no more questions, really.
But if there was going to be that battle, it needed to be more of a battle. And like you, in the end, I'm not exactly sure what was so important about Otto getting Aegon versus Allison getting Aegon. And maybe that's stupid of us. Maybe we should realize, oh, the person who has the future king holds all the cards. But they're on the same side. There wasn't enough true division. Even Rhaenys, who, you know, exits the episode in a grand exit, there are a lot of half measures going on if you're a fan of Breaking Bad. And this episode felt like half measures. Mm. We're ready for the fireworks factory. We would understand the fireworks factory. But it's also pulling punches. Here, I'm doing all these doubles. Firework factory, Breaking Bad, pulling punches. But it just didn't connect with me like a lot of episodes do. So I feel tough giving it 7 out of 10. But listeners, I'm just giving my honest take. Once again, who cares what we think? We want to know what you think. And reach out to us on all these platforms. If you're watching on YouTube, go down in the comments and let us know what you think. If you're on Twitter or Instagram, at DoublePHQ, on Facebook.com/DoublePHQ, email us. Heck, email us with a long tirade of how we can only give this episode 7 out of 10. It's hello.
Or that's why right. Could we give it such a high rating of 7 out of 10?
Exactly right. So once again, that's hello@doublepmedia.com. We want to hear from you.
Mm. Maybe people can let us know this, Bubba, because this is what I wondered if I'd missed.
Okay.
That if Otto knew that Aemond would be better than Aegon and he wants to get rid of Aegon, and Allison, of course, doesn't, but that wasn't made clear enough. We did spend far too much time searching for Aegon in this episode.
Well, let's go right there.
Okay.
Do you think Aemond, the younger brother, would make a better king? He kind of put his resume, you know, he put his LinkedIn page out there for people to see. Who would be the better king between King Viserys's two sons, Aegon or Aemond?
That almost feels like a rhetorical question. I guess if you want someone else to be in charge, clearly Aegon doesn't care about it. So you're just going to have to, if you're asking me if I think he would make a better king, then it would be, do I think that whoever talks to him latest, Otto or Allison, would make a better king?
Good point.
Aemond will make a better king. Will he be a more violent, vicious king? Yes, but only to the people who mess with him. I feel like he'll be a decent leader for his people. He won't be good for anybody else who has a dragon or anybody else who we really care about in this show.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he would be a better king.
I want to say this because I have been team green. Team greens.
I don't say have been so long.
I've been the hand to team greens. And even though I've been on team greens, yeah, I have been anti-Aegon beyond a doubt. But there was so much of this episode where I actually respected him for realizing he shouldn't be king. As terrible as Aegon is, the fact that he's smart enough to realize the person I am should not be king, that was like the first time I've ever thought this kid actually has some smarts. And so I think you're right. He can easily be manipulated. He was manipulated by his mother, by the pageantry of the crown, where suddenly he's like, okay, wait a minute, people are going to clap? People are going to clap my name. Hey, okay, maybe being king isn't so bad. So that was the little yeah, the little inch that I'll give to Aegon possibly being an okay king, if he can now, even survive what's going to be coming for him next week. Holy smokes.
Now, what is sort of a better representation of his kingliness that we saw in this episode? The fact that he loves child fights, or that he's okay with bastard children of his being imprisoned to watch and or later on participate in child fights?
Ned Stark got attacked so much for not getting his kids ready for that brutal world. Aegon is getting that child ready very early. He's like, kid, look at what happens to kids in this brutal world. You got to sharpen your teeth. And to be honest, Catfish, I was watching that scene, that brutal scene of these children fighting, I assume in Flea Bottom. And all I could think was, all right, Jim, I got a kid here. She shaved his teeth, have been shaved down to points, and he's biting this kid. I think he's going to have a great round. Let's see you have some action. You like that?
I did. It just made me think how many people in this show, they're showing the scars of childhood, right? I mean, Laris, because of his foot, now has a foot fixation. The most exciting moment of Aegon's life was watching the aftermath of the fight between his brother and the strong kids, and he just wants to recreate that every day. Childhood trauma. Bubba, this is a show about childhood drama.
It sure is. And we even kind of got that said explicitly in the scene between Otto and Allison, where, you know, she was pretty much just calling him out. No, I didn't really have a say. I was just following your wishes. And so there's so much to talk about. Once again, we've gone 7 out of 10, but this podcast could go long. But the most important thing is your feedback. Once again, on Twitter, Instagram, at @PHQ, Facebook.com/PHQ, YouTube, leave the comments below. Email us hello@PMedia.com. We want to hear your thoughts, because I have a feeling you're right, Catfish. Some people may be lower than us in their rating. Some people may have loved this episode. We want to hear from everybody. And your opinion is gosh darn correct.
Love it. Love it, Bubba.
You do some double P.
Double P.
Podcast promotion and say, if you haven't gotten onto Disney Plus and start watching Andor on Disney Plus, you're missing a really fun show that we've given really high ratings to recently.
Oh,
we're covering on our Parsec Passion podcast, which you can find by going to all your favorite apps and searching Parsec Passion. Or if you're into YouTube, you can just go to our YouTube channel and you'll hear us talking about Star Wars, Cassian Ender, in that fun espionage thriller rebellion forming show. Also, we've been pitching this for a couple of weeks, but we want you guys part of the team. We are going to be talking and solving a murder mystery starting right now. That's right. We're going to be watching Magpie Murders. It's available here in the States on PBS all around the world. It's available on BritBox. Go and check that show out and see if you can solve this murder mystery with Detective Catfish as he dives into the clues. And we have recorded our first podcast about the first episode. And I will just say, Detective Catfish has impressively solved certain things that are obvious. And so get ready.
Yes.
It's going to be very, very fun. And we want you on this journey with us. So once again, that's going to be called Let's Solve Magpie Murders. You're going to find it on YouTube and our Double P podcast feed. So once again, wherever you get your podcast at, just search Double P podcast and you'll be able to join us on this murder mystery trip.
Bubba, I'm just so excited that in addition to having a regular job that pays me well, I appear to have a podcasting job that pays me not at all. So this is great. Please join us, folks, for our podcast. I'm going to call them Double P.
Double P.
Yeah, podcast aplenty.
The is silent.
It is. It is.
All right, Catfish. Well, we keep talking about our listeners and how we love our loyal listeners and how we want their feedback. So you know what time it is. Let me get the bell out.
I love it. It is match game time, Bubba. It was another Catfish takeover tonight. I'm so barely proud of myself for some of these. But all that matters is that there's enough information for our viewers to show how amazing they are. And how also we have found our audience, Bubba. They're just as inappropriate as we are, and we love it. All right, match game one. After his death, The king was referred to as Viserys the Peaceful. After Lord Beesbury's death, he will be referred to as Beesbury the blank.
After his death, King Viserys was known as Viserys the Peaceful. After Lord Beesbury's death, he will be referred to as Beesbury the blank.
Pudding faced.
Catfish.
For what his face got pushed to and what his face looks like now.
Okay, that sold me. That sold me on it. I wasn't sure at first. I thought it was just mean to this dead Lord Beesbury, but I think you really brought it around to that being his true title.
Yeah. All right, Bubba. Yeah. This is for you now. After Lord Beesbury's death, he will be referred to as Beesbury the...
bald. And that's not B-A-L-D. It's B-A-L-L-E-D.
Bald.
Right. Beesbury the bald. Okay, no comment. I get it.
I think this is one where the and the audience would go, oh, and G. Rayburn would look and just be like, why do we have to waste time seeing if we're going to get matches?
Gene Rayburn would respect my pun.
No. Gene Rayburn, he was ready to have fun when somebody totally biffed it. All right, let's see if either one of us get any matches.
All right, here, I'll go. After Lord Beesbury's death, he will be referred to as Beesbury the face planted. That's pretty good. That's from our good buddy Corey Bramblett at TCBPOV on Twitter. Pretty good. All right, why don't you read the next one?
All right. After Lord Beesbury's death, he will be referred to as Beesbury the tabled discussion.
That's pretty good. Who gave us that one?
That is Likely Seth at Likely Seth.
Oh, so good. Okay. After Lord Beesbury's death, he will be referred to as Beesbury the double C.
Double C?
Kristen crushed.
Oh!
Poor Beesbury. That's at Jeff Pirro on Twitter, and Jeff on Twitter is at JEPHPERRO. So good. Very, very good so far. Everybody's better than us, but no matches. After Lord Beesbury's death, he will be referred to as Beesbury the... corner pocket, as in eight ball in the...
that is pretty close for you.
Oh, that's pretty close. That's pretty close, but I also... Please be... Oh, ouch, gold. That's from our good buddy Matt Murdick at Musical Concepts on Twitter. Like it. All right, what else you got?
All right, we got... here we go. After his death, Lord Beesbury will be referred to as... Beesbury the Brained.
Oh.
Yeah.
These are sad. These are making me feel sad.
Oh, you should feel sad at all.
That's all right, and Nicholas Fortuna on Twitter. Okay.
All right, I'll read the last one. Here we go. This is so good. After Lord Beesbury's death, he will be referred to as Beesbury Double B.
Double B?
Yeah, Beesbury Be Buried.
So wait a minute, Lord Beesbury the Be Buried.
Beesbury Be Buried. Yeah. That okay. is so good. That is at Mandatory. That is Tori Hunter. So good.
Hold on, we got one last one in just under the wire. All right. Lord Beesbury after his death will be referred to as Beesbury the Double F.
Double F.
Floppy faced.
Oh,
not nice.
I disagree that wasn't nice. I thought that was delicious.
That's from at Dooley's Left Legs on Twitter. And Dooley, what time is it in England where Dooley lives? This is incredible. Can you believe this loyal listener?
He's taking care of business. He's taking care of business for us.
All right, hold on. I'm going to find out. We are recording this right now. Oh, my God. It is 4 a.m. as we speak in London. That's incredible. Hey, I want to talk to listeners. I see the download stats. I see the YouTube stats. There are a good 1,000, if not more, of you who never have responded to any of these match games. And maybe you think they're stupid and silly. They are stupid and silly. Maybe you think, oh, I can't be clever. Catfish and I prove every week you don't have to be clever.
That is true.
We do want to hear your answers. We always bother you. We interrupt these podcasts so much to say, reach out to us at Double PHQ, give us YouTube comments and stuff. But really, maybe, you know, you're not on Twitter, maybe you're not, whatever it is, send us something. You know, just send us something that says, I'm engaged, whether it's a YouTube comment or I'm listening would be great. A lot of times we do these podcasts into the ether and we see numbers that people are downloading, but we really, unless you respond, maybe give us a Apple Podcast or a Spotify review. We don't really know. We want to thank you, and we're going to give away prizes next week. So, hey, you know, say anything so you can be eligible to win. And we do appreciate you spending your time with two buffoons. Well, Catfish, you were only 7 out of 10, but This is the time in the podcast where we go through our SSS strongest scene in the episode. Mm-hmm. I don't want to give it to Laris's foot fetish, which was, though, the moment where I kind of did sit up. You know, a lot of times in these penultimate episodes of Game of Thrones, something happens and I sit up. That was the one moment where I was like, wait, what now? Oh, my Lord. Did you have a nominee for the strongest scene in the episode?
Well, I loved the end when the queen that never was brought in the dragon, and It was like, is it going to be fire time? And she decides no. But I think part of the problem with this episode is that my strongest scene is essentially the first scene at the King's Council, where they are trying to figure out what they're going to do and how they're going to do it and who is with them. And some people decide to make their views known at the table, and that doesn't go well for them. It honestly doesn't make... at any time, announcing your views in opposition does not go well, as we find out later. However, that to me was the most interesting scene.
What was your favorite part of that scene? I'm going to go ahead and name mine just because it's so ridiculous.
Go ahead, let's hear it.
So you had Kristen Cole, way too strong a sit down. And then you have the, I'm going to mess up his name, so let me refer to my notes here. You have Lord Westerling of the Kingsguard. He's like, Kristen Cole, you take off your cloak. You are a scumbag. I'm taking you down. And all this is happening there around Tywin Lannister, who's sitting at the end of the table. And he's like, let me get away from my seat. And then when seemingly everything calms down, Tywin sneaking back to his seat at the small council. I thought that was great. It's like, okay, I guess I could sit back down here between these people swinging swords. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite moment in it. It was very eye-opening for Alicent to learn, wait a minute, Dad, you guys have been planning this for a while. That is like a punch to the face. Like, wait a minute. I just decided because I had this, you know, my husband in his dying breath said this thing about Aegon being king, but you guys have been doing this for a while. I think she should have been angrier. I'm surprised she wasn't more forceful.
You know, she is a little bit more forceful than with Otto later on, one-on-one. I'm going to cut her some slack that maybe she was a little bit more surprised and didn't kind of know how to react, simply because, you know, one of the issues that we've had with the show was not seeing how people really feel. And even with Alicent, we haven't seen how she's really felt. And we had made some assumptions about kind of where she was in her mental process as far as how far she was willing to go. We had to make assumptions. And so it was surprising to see those assumptions challenged tonight. Don't really feel like that's completely our fault. She still kind of, years and years on, seems to be sort of in a wishy-washy place here.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Once again, where I thought maybe she should have blown up more, or I expected more of a explosion once she found out about this, I also thought what could have been a very powerful scene of Alicent confronting her father, Otto, also kind of petered out for a bit. It ends with Otto saying, sometimes you remind me so much of your mother. And then she's, you know, like, Dad, you're pointless. And she leaves. And so there wasn't like a good capper to that scene either. So I think I'm going to go for my scene, the strongest one, I suppose, is the Alicent and Rhaeny scene. She goes in and she asks her for her support. And she makes what I think are some of the right pitches. It may be too late, but she does say this thing,
It may be a little too forceful as well. It's hard when you're making a pitch and squeezing someone's hand so hard that their circulation stops.
But she does make a good pitch. What has being with Team Rhaenyra really gotten you? That is the right pitch. I think it's too late, but it is the right pitch. I think if you were going to get Rhaenys to your side, I think those are the words. Now, Rhaenys says, you know, my house is not fickle. She's pretty hardcore that she couldn't be convinced now. But if Alicent had maybe been playing more like Otto, I think there's a chance she could have gotten Rhaenys. And so right now, that is my strongest scene.
All right. That is an interesting scene. And she does, you say you're wiser than I believed you to be. Not like that helps in any way, shape, or form.
No, not at this point.
We don't know. It still doesn't seem like, and maybe we should have just have made some assumptions. Maybe we're just being too spoon-fed here. But if you look at things very carefully, I mean, Alicent does not really have her own power base.
No. She has Kristen Cole. I mean, he's pretty dedicated to her. She has Larys.
She has Larys, but strangely enough, you know, they're making it clear to us that we don't know if she can even trust Larys because in a scene before that, he says to Otto, like, what do you want? What do you want the queen to feel? I can help you with that. I mean, I would think the main thing that Larys makes the queen feel is creeped out. But, you know, and Larys tells her there's this whole group of spies that's in place.
Right.
I'm not sure why he's doing that. Yeah.
And then Larys, I think he's like, what do you want me to do, queen? She shows enough foot that he gets his rocks off. And then I assume that he burns down Mysterious place, right? That's his work. Is her establishment burns up in smoke is what I thought. Or was that Otto burning up the child fighting ring to pay back Mysteria? What place burned down there?
Well, you know what? I didn't know whether it just burned down due to the people rioting and running.
No, I thought because the cloak figure walked away. I have to say that because of its placement in the episode, I did think that was Larys paying back Alicent on what do you want me to do? He said, what did he say? Something like you chop off the head. That's the quickest way. Or we'll have to go back and watch. Listeners, we are recording this right after the episode drops, so I'm sure people know the correct answer by now. There's also the chance that Otto paid back Mysteria and burned down those places where the kids have to fight.
I got Mysteria. She comes back. We didn't know what the heck she was doing back here. Turns out she's got more power than we know.
She does have more power than more power to you, Mysteria. Way to go. And speaking of Mysteria, are you ready for match game two?
I am ready for match game two.
You know, Mysteria's secret name, you know, her handle, as it will, on the King's Landing social media apps is the White Worm.
Oh.
But Larys's secret name should be blank. Mysteria's secret name is the White Worm. Larys's secret name should be
Double P.
Double P?
Yeah, Pud Fingerer. All right, Bubba.
Wait, you thought Gene Rayburn was going to hate my answer? Gene Rayburn would retire if he heard that answer. He'd be like, okay, this game's over. I give up.
All right, here we go. Now it's your chance.
Now, hold on. Remember, this is the White Worm. And I think you do have to color to truly match it up. So let me hear
it. All right, great. Mysterious secret name is the White Worm. Larys' secret name should be
Buster Brown.
Oh.
For everybody younger than us, Buster Brown is an old shoe company that sold shoes. And so that was my guess. I'm positive no one is old enough to remember Buster Brown shoes, but I thought White Worm, Buster Brown, it was my call.
I was very proud of my gift game tonight, by the way, with the questions.
Oh, yeah. All right. They're very good.
All right, here we go. I want to read this first one. It's so good. Mysteria's secret name is the White Worm. Larys' secret name should be Double L.
double L.
Get Lord Little Toe. That is Tori Hunter at Mandatory.
Okay, if you're going to do that one, then you're ready.
Yep.
Oh, no. Oh, this is the first time we've had one which actually you had to click and say, yes, I'm older. I'm an adult to see the answer. So you ready for likely Seth's?
I'm all ready.
Right. Mysterious secret name is the White Worm. Laris's secret name should be? Sigh. Lord help me. Triple F.
Triple F.
The Forlorn Foot Effer. That's at Likely Seth on Twitter. Likely Seth, I had to actually click and say I was an adult to see your answer. So good work.
All right, excellent. Hold on to the bell because I'm going to read this next one.
Okay, here we go.
Laris's secret name should be Triple F.
Triple F?
Yeah, falsifying foot fornicator.
That's pretty close. Who was that? That is a match.
That's left legs.
Oh, man. There you go. If you stay up to 4 a.m., you should match. Heck yeah.
Oh, man. All right. Here we go. All right. Laris's secret name should be top tier OnlyFans subscriber.
You know, I'm going to get an OnlyFans account just so I can see. See how Laris would do on that site. That's Double M Matt Murdock going dirty like that. All right. Laris's secret name should be President of the Foot Club.
Oh,
that's another match. Anybody who goes flat, that's Endless Mike 03 on Twitter. Heck yeah.
Oh my God. And a Holly Hunpants says Laris's secret name should be Fan of Feet. And then Likely Seth replied to her and said, is this like his only feed account? So it's sort of matching along. I love it.
Okay, well, boy, we got so many feed. I want to get to all of them. Laris, his secret name should be Double F Foot Freak, as well as Feet Rose. Those are from Corey Bramble and our good buddy Jack Klompas, who's at BTMac11 on Twitter.
All right, I'm gonna say my favorite one.
All right, hold on.
So okay, all right.
We gotta save that for the very end. So read Nick Fortuna's, and then we'll get to that one.
All right, Nick Fortuna's is quadruple F.
Quadruple F.
Yeah, foot fantasizing phallus flicker. That one matches with mine.
It does.
Because I said Pud Fingerer.
I know. Okay, now here's the answer that's really going to break Twitter. All right, you're ready. Read it, Catfish.
Oh, both Bubba and I were just like, we're so amazed. This could be the answer of the night. Mysterious secret name is the White Worm. Laris' secret name should be Louis C.K.
I'm still dying over it. We saw this like an hour ago, it feels like. But Louis C.K., who gave us that?
That was Satan Claus at Klaus Sons. I mean, come on.
We're gonna give away, as we always say, we're going to give away prizes next week to all of you who are kind enough to respond to us in any way for all this stuff. And let me say that... you don't necessarily win a prize, but next week we may have to pull out our Match Game Hall of Fame answers, because that is one. That is one for the books.
I love it.
Very, very wrong and very, very good. But because we are doing this on the fly, I do have to read one answer we just got in for this week's episode. So
okay.
Ready?
Yeah, let's hear it.
This is rough. Okay. Mysterious secret name is the White Worm. Laris's secret name should be Quentin Tarantino. That's from your old buddy Bucho, who's at Fist of Bucho on Twitter.
It.
Now, I always say that Bucho is in New Zealand, so we were talking about what time is it in London for our good buddy Dooley's left leg. What time do you think it is in New Zealand right now, Catfish?
Oh my God, I'm gonna guess it's 9 a.m.
No, it's 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Perfect. I got that completely right.
It's now time to do our character rundown, Catfish.
Let's do it.
And I want to talk about a character who was only a bit in the episode, but people love talking about her so much. And that is King Aegon's sister, a.k.a. his wife. It's Helena. In this episode, we see her mother, Alicent, going in to visit her. Helena's there, and her two kids are there. Maybe this got lost on a lot of viewers, but Aegon and Helena have already had two kids. They're sitting there on the floor of her bedroom when her mother walks in. And Helena has got these kind of sayings, her proclamations, her visions, maybe her dragon dreams, whatever they are. And she said it again this week. She said, "There is a beast beneath the boards." What is she referring to? Or is it just Helena's a little off? Any idea?
I mean, I assume like any oracle, she says things that are generalizable enough that later on you can say, oh, this is what she was talking about. I mean, even tonight, the beast beneath the boards could have been, Rhaenyra's dragon. Who knows?
Oh, yeah. No, it was beneath the board. That's right. There is a thing from the book that I think it might be kind of hinting at for everybody. And all I can say is cheese might be the hint of what it's coming from the books. But listeners, I don't know. What do you think? I think there can possibly be spoilers in this, so be very careful. But if you want to, once again, we love spoilers via our email account. That's hello@doublepmedia.com. hello@doublepmedia.com. And because I've read the book, I think I can look at them and still be safe. But if you have any ideas, let us know. If you haven't read the books and don't have any idea and have a guess, like maybe it's Rhaenys coming up with that dragon. Once again, contact us on Twitter, go in YouTube, go down in the comments and let us know. So Catfish, I think that's a good guess. It certainly could have been Rhaenys coming up from down below with her giant dragon. Holy smokes. Any other thoughts about her? You know, we have all the greens. I almost want to go through all the greens because that's who's in the episode. Any other thoughts about her and about how she made that great toast last week and or what her situation is?
I mean, she is, I will say this, she seems more, you know, in these kind of shows where it's sort of like you have these kind of like magical soothsayers or whatever like that. And it's sort of, so because they're connected to sort of kind of a more spirit world or more extrasensory things, they're not so much in this world. And I felt like they've grounded her a little bit more in this world than she was earlier.
Oh, yeah.
In other words, I feel like she's not as out there as she could be and as she was shown when she was younger.
Right.
You know, let's go crazy. Let's go crazy with her. She's like, you know, this is a world of magic and, you know, people just like on The Last Kingdom, you know, when you have the Scalds and stuff like that, those people are cuckoo because they're in touch with the other world.
Well, let's go to somebody who seems very touched, of the other world, but very much of this world and the squalor of this world. Mysyria, when she was kind of more heavily in these episodes earlier, you were very tough on the actress's accent and her work. In this episode, we get a bit further at what she wants, and she kind of wants a good cause. She's like, hey, I will give you Prince Aegon. I'll do everything, but you got to do something about what's happening down here. We got child fights going on, kids being mutilated so they can do better in these fights. Your hand of the king. You've done nothing about this. Do something about it. What do you think of the White Worm? What did you think of her place in this story?
I know that King's Landing, it's like one of those big cities, right? It's like it's like New York. It's like London. It's an international city. People come from all over. So you're used to dealing with all kinds of people. Still then, I could have just 1 second of Otto going, where are you from? I've never heard this kind of accent before.
I can't place where you're from. Where is that again? did it make you like her that she is trying to get some reforms in her city? Or are you still like, get me back to the palace intrigue that I signed up for, not this social work?
Well, I just don't. I mean, it feels like I thought she was going to be a far more important part of the story and then the first few episodes, and then she completely dropped off and she came back. So at this point, it feels like she's just becoming more of a useful plot point rather than really a character that we are supposed to follow or care for.
Let's get back to Team Greens. Kristen Cole, he's seemingly had a relatively big part earlier, and it feels like maybe he's just been reduced to Allison's muscle. And there was a very nice moment, I thought nice moment, where Allison was like, if you have any, as much as you care for me, I need you to do this. Do you think Kristen Cole, has he transferred all that almost romantic love he had towards Rhaenyra to Allison? I doubt anything has happened physically, but he was outside the brothel. Like, listen, women are like the mother. You've got to talk about them, you know, in exalted terms. So how do you feel so far about Kristen Cole, this conflicted man who doesn't have any problem squashing somebody's head, doesn't have any trouble drawing a sword on his boss, the Westerling commander of the Kingsguard, and at the same time has these highfalutin ideals? Any thoughts on how Kristen Cole has developed?
Well, I mean, this is just a prime example of completely failing up, right?
Oh, yeah.
By the end of this episode, he's the head of the Kingsguard, the head. Even though he's twice killed people completely inappropriately and seemingly out of all whack with any kind of ideologies that he claimed to espouse about fair play and rules, etc. He's Does got what I like to call double I.
Double I?
Yeah, irritability issues.
Does that make him a more compelling character or make him less compelling? What do you think?
Compelling? I mean, I feel like with every episode he does stuff, he becomes more and more hateable. So I guess that means more compelling, right?
More of a hero, Team Green. Okay.
Yeah, right.
How about Aemond, the brother who, you know, as a kid, he seemed okay if bullied. And then when he got control of that dragon, he was very boastful and got in a fight and lost an eye. Then it almost felt like last episode he was, you know, not right in the head. Like he was just a violent, you know, don't get on this guy's bad side. This episode, it felt like he did reveal a different side to him. He's like, hey, I'm the one studying our history. I'm the one learning how to fight. And would he kill his mess of a brother for the crown? What are your thoughts on Aemond?
Well, my thoughts are, first, I want to interrogate your feelings about him last episode. What about last episode did you make him think that he was violent? All he did was kept using the word strong and using words as a dagger, which I thought was quite clever of him.
Well, we did see him fighting with Kristen Cole, sparring, I should say, with Kristen Cole. Kristen Cole's like, hey, you're going to be really great at the tournaments. And he's like, I don't give a rat's ass about tournaments. Well, then why are you fighting so hard, dude?
Well, I think he's fighting because, just like what he said this episode, that he's the one who's been essentially training to be the king and to lead men. So look, last episode, I liked him a lot more than the younger one. Mm-hmm. This episode, I like him even more. And honestly, if he had killed his brother, I would have had no problem with that. That would not have made me like him any less.
Would it have made you like him more?
Yes.
All righty. Heck yeah. Let's go. Aemond, come into town.
I mean, it's not like they're twins, like Eric and Arik. Whichever one of them is the dick that left the other one.
Well, one of them, was it Eric or Arik who helped Rhaenys escape? It's impossible to tell. One of them should have said, I'm Arik with an A.
They should have on their suits of armor either right. A big E or a big A.
Exactly, exactly right. Last character let's talk about is Otto. Otto is another character where I don't feel like I have a hand on him. Let's talk about his strong move. He's bringing a bunch of lords there in the castle. I guess the lords who are already in the castle. And he's like, okay, it's time to bend the knee. And there was the one woman who was from house. What house was she a part of? She was like, you know, I'm a part of this house and I'm not bending the knee. And he was like, okay, dungeons for you. I assume dungeons, you know, we didn't see these people again. And then, oh, she was from House Fell. And then there was the one guy who you could tell, he's like, I'm just bending the knee so I don't get put in a dungeon and or killed. He tries to escape. At the end of the episode, we see this dude hung. He's hanging there in the courtyard.
Yeah, just chilling.
Right, hanging out. So any thoughts on Otto, who, you know, Otto has gone stone cold. Otto, holy smokes. Any thoughts on him?
Well, I mean, let's be clear. Otto's made this clear ever since he was banished as Hand of the King of the first time, is that it's either us or them. And oh, yeah. If you think it's either us or them, it's always smart to take care of them before they come for us.
Listeners, what are your thoughts about Otto, Kristen Cole, Helena, Aegon, Aemond, all the Greens, Missaria? Write to us and let us know. Once again, if you just want to respond to, I like Aemond, whatever it is, I hate Aemond, let us know. We just want to, once again, engage with you and know that you're not just a random number. Catfish, are you ready for match game three?
I'm ready for it.
Okay, so here we go. Aegon, his first act as king will be to blank. Boom, 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 boom. That's right, everybody. Aegon's first act as king will be to
legalize child fighting.
Right, yeah, Missari is going to hate that ruling.
I was going to be like, what can I do? I'm only the hand of the king.
Well, woo, it'll be interesting. You think he'll keep his grandfather as his hand or say, like, Grandpa, I've had enough of you.
Ooh,
you forced me to be king and I didn't want to.
Well, if he's really scared, I bet Aemond could convince Aegon he's the right choice for it.
Oh, I did. That is a great call.
That would be so good. All right, so all right. Aegon's first act as king will be to
outlaw curtains. He's a window man. What can you say?
Everything that must be done in the open. All right, grab the bell, Bubba. Let's see if anybody.
Here we go.
I have a feeling one of us.
Oh, you think so?
It's going to get close, but I don't think it's going to be me. All right, here we go. Aegon's first act as king will be to ban dragons from all public speaking events. smart move. Smart move. That is Dooley's left legs. Thank you so much.
I saw this next one, so I'll read it. Aegon's first act as king will be to double W.
Double W?
Window wank.
Oh, there you go. Ring the bell. All right, here we go. Aegon's first act as king will be to sire a new bastard.
Oh.
celebrate good times. Come on. That was mandatory Tory Hunter.
Tory Hunter. I think that'll be his first act, his second act, his 15th act. Very good. Okay. Aegon's first act as king will be to start inviting children to freely tour the Red Keep. For reasons.
Oh.
Well, that's very close to the child fighting. That's from at Musical Concepts, double M on Twitter. Very, very, very good. Oh, no. Okay, I've seen a couple of these answers. If you want to read one, I'll...
All right. Aegon's first act as king will be to hide behind his mother.
Oh, that is sweet. Oh, that's from Skylar.
At Ekadair, thank you so much. It was so good.
Oh, that's sweet. Did you think it was sweet how Allison stepped in front of her son? Like, that wouldn't have protected him from Dragonfire, but I liked it.
No, but she was the one who was like, well, but for sure, if Rhaenyra had been kept staring at Aegon, she would have let it fly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I think these two match. So you ready? Seth on Twitter wrote his first act will be piss his pants in fear. And then at Claw's Sons, that's Satan Claws on Twitter, he said Aegon's first act will be to change his underwear. These are very, very close. Yes. Very close. I think that matches.
All right, Aegon's first act as king will be to declare the age of emo.
Death Cab for Cutie comes out and cheers him up.
Corey Bramlett at TCB POV. I don't want to rule. No, no, rule, no.
Oh, no. All right. So this one I think is probably a smart first act. Aegon's first act will be to burn the king's bedsheets.
Oh.
Those got to stink. That's Nicholas Fortuna on Twitter. Very good.
All right, we got another one that I think sort of matches a previous one. Okay. Aegon's first act as king will be to dragon-proof the sept.
Now, hold on. That was actually in the dragon pit, but very good. Who is that from?
That's from Jeff Farrow.
Oh, now, tied to that, this isn't a match, but Jack Klompa said his first act will be to forget where he parked his dragon. Where did I park that thing?
That was excellent. Those are our answers. Listen, hey, if you're listening right now and we didn't read your answer, that means we didn't get it before we did the podcast. But that's not shouldn't stop you from answering the question. No. Answer the question, and we will read it on the season finale of the Joffrey podcast.
Oh, so good. So good. So good. Okay. You know where we need to go. All rise. Enter the small council chamber as the small council debate as the small council debates the issues. The first issue on the docket is whose tactic is correct? Allison's attempt at a peaceful handover or Otto's kill first, ask questions later? Counselor Catfish, Lord of Reason. Yeah, who is correct? Yes.
Your Honor, I know you won't like to hear this because we're in a modern age here, Your Honor. And we believe in justice and we believe in a police system and a court of law just like we are right here. But in this world, Your Honor, it's kill first, kill second, kill third. If there's any left, kill them. And then sow the seeds with their burned bodies. Sow the seeds of the ground with their burned bodies, Your Honor.
Terrible. Your Honor, let me jump in and say that is incorrect. And let me say Counselor Catfish is choosing Otto's method of how to handle this. Mm-hmm. So,
that's right,
Kristen Cole, please step up to Counselor Catfish and tell him what you think of his plan. I think Allison does have the right attempt. This is a world with dragons. You just saw it. This episode could have resulted in all of them getting roasted by dragon fire. Why didn't Rhaenys light the whole place on fire? She didn't because Allison had reached out. Allison had made an attempt to get Rhaenys on her side. And so at the very least, just doing that, save them all from being roasted by a dragon. And so if Otto had tried to kill Rhaenys and failed, number one, if he had failed and she had reached her dragon, she would have torched all of them. Number two, if he killed her, who's to say her dragon isn't going to have some sort of connection with her and realize, oh, crap, my rider has been killed. I need to go burn down everybody. So I think that proves that Allison's way was the right way. There's a chance that even we haven't seen that final episode, there's a chance Rhaenyra might say, I didn't want it anyway. Fine. Otto tries to kill her. She'll never think that.
Your Honor, he's completely convinced me that now that Allison has convinced for a peaceful transition that all this will be cleared up without any further problems. And that there'll be no more problems, Your Honor.
Counselor Bubba, do you want to... Your Honor, please, please. You don't even have to finish that sentence. Yes. What I'm implying is that there's no more drama on the show and that HBO is fine with like, okay, episode 10, let's wrap this up and do a different Targaryen story next season. So that does sound ridiculous, but you always have to sue for peace first before you destroy the peace.
Now, Yana, if your intention is to take over, you don't give your enemies any time to gather their forces.
Kristen Cole, are you behind Catfish? You are? Give him the beesberry. Wonderful work.
Well, you're just staging a coup. Kristen Cole, why are you standing behind me? Get away. Counselor Bubba wins. Counselor Bubba wins. Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you, Your Honor. I'm glad that finally you saw the right light. The light of the house.
Did somebody need me? I'm Rusty.
It's Bailiff Rusty. You survived. Incredible. Keep wearing that white cloak, Bailiff Rusty.
Enough silliness. Kristen, you can step back to where you were. Let's go to issue 2. Should Rainey's have roasted the greens when she had a chance? Counselor Bubba, you were just arguing that she didn't because of Alicent, but should she have? So let's hear you first, Counselor Bubba. Your Honor, I normally go second, so I could kind of like go off of,
shut up and do it.
Yes. Okay, Your Honor, fine.
It's me, Bailiff Rusty. All right, listen. Okay, I'll go. Everybody, just give me some space here.
I personally think if she had roasted everybody, she would have really, really, really made herself enemy number one. Already, by having her dragon come up as it did in that packed dragon pit, who knows how many people she has already killed, right? If she then roasts her relatives, she's a kinslayer, correct? And so as bad as it sounds, and how easy that would have been to just say, okay, enough of this, get rid of this two-sided war, by killing all of them, then the realm would probably never forgive her. Probably that hatred would go towards Rhaenyra, and she would poison the population against her side. So it would have made the episode maybe more exciting if she had roasted everybody, but roasting everybody would have been wrong for the greater good of her side. And so I think Rhaenys made the right choice, not roasting the green.
Okay, I'll never let you go first again. That was so poorly argued, Counselor Catfish.
Your Honor, I completely agree that all those people who are completely terrified and running out of there, they're completely fine now. Now that she didn't have the dragon or anything else, they're like, oh, you know what? We're not afraid of her anymore, Your Honor.
Yes.
Clearly, Your Honor, she should have. Those were the majority of her enemies right there, Your Honor. If she had roasted them all, she would have no more problems. Big deal. Kinslayer, who's going to come after her? Rhaenyra? Daemon? I disagree, Your Honor. She could have gone back to Driftmark and lived out her days. But now she's going to be harried and hassled by these Hightower and highfalutin greens.
Very good argument, Counselor Catfish. Counselor Bubba, do you have a counter argument?
Of course, Your Honor. I mean, of course, I've got it right. Where did I put it? Well, hold on, Your Honor. Counselor Catfish is talking about the small folk who were running from the chamber. Yes, she has terrified them, but the positive is that they are terrified or they're dead. And so sometimes it's easier to rule through fear it's easier to rule dead people or people who are afraid than people who might not vote for you.
So Donna, I'm confused. Is Bubba now arguing my case?
You don't even know your own name.
That's a good point, brother. He's calling him me Catfish.
I feel like he's arguing my case right now, Yana. I'm very confused.
Well, no. The question is, Catfish, is if she should have roasted the greens. These poor small folk who became crushed folk or scared folk, they will live in fear. And so they'll probably do what she wants. Good work, Rhaenys, not roasting the greens.
Right. So if I use the same philosophy, Your Honor, against...
Your Honor, can I suggest you not use my philosophy? He's stealing my philosophy. He just said it.
Your Honor, he took my philosophy. That is my philosophy. Yes, if they're dead or afraid, that's the way to do it.
I've lost track of who's on what side.
Sir Kristen, could you see the...
No. All right. That's 2 for Bubba. Very good, Sir Bubba. Let's go to the third issue on the docket. How much leg would Otto Hightower have to show to get Larry's favor over his daughter, Queen Alicent. Counselor Catfish, let's hear your petition.
Your Honor, I just have to say that it feels like she's not really doing that much of a show. So it feels like, you know, like Otto could maybe like take a bath in front of them where he kind of like kicks his leg up higher out of the tub. And I feel like that would bring Laris over to his side. Because I think partially what Laris is interested in is not just seeing a beautiful foot, but it's seeing a healthy foot, not like his. So to see like a man's foot where he can imagine, oh, that's my delicious foot that's being soaked. And the toes are pointing right up to the sky, Your Honor. So I feel like just all the way up to the thigh, Your Honor. But soapy.
Your Honor, I think it's not just how much a leg Otto would have to show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure that Laris could really use the hand of the king, if you know what I mean.
I concede, Your Honor. I just want him to stop. I can see
Your Honor. Little piggy went to market. This little piggy stayed home.
Counselor Bubba, I will suffer any consequence from Kristen Cole to get you to not finish that.
All right, Your Honor, I will.
It's me, Bailiff Ray. I had nothing to do in this episode.
Okay. Listeners, you've heard these three questions, and certainly you can give better answers than our members of the small council, Bubba and Catfish, did. Reach out on social media and give us your thoughts at DoublePHQ on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/DoublePHQ. Email hello@DoublePMedia.com. Court is adjourned.
Thank you so much, Your Honor.
Amazing.
Catfish, we have talked too much and we have said, we've talked a lot. Agreed. And said very little. It's time to get to our listeners who really know what's going on. So why don't you take us into listener feedback?
All right. We got some instant feedback on Instagram. Tarika Wright says, commenting on this old post because I was so excited to hear the return of Bailiff Rusty. I'm not on Team Black or Green. I'm Team Rust.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I was so surprised when Rusty came back, to be honest with you. All right, we got some Twitter feedback.
Ooh.
Oh, this is about Lord of the Rings. Susan Stacy, a longtime loyal listener
at
Black Eyed Lily, said, while listening to this episode, I really appreciated Bubba's opinion on Lord of the Rings on Prime. I, too, am finding the Rings of Power magical in moments. I'm not going to compare dragons and rings. They're both such different stories, which I'm enjoying both of.
Ooh, wonderful to hear that, Susan Stacy. I don't mention it enough, but if you have watched Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power on Amazon Prime, please check out Double M's wonderful podcast he does with Priscilla on the Bustin' Blockbuster feed. That's Bustin' without the G, Bustin' Blockbusters podcast feed. Double M does a great job. You'll also find it on our YouTube page. They break that down, and he and Priscilla go over some really deep Lord of the Rings lore that I had no idea about. So wonderful, wonderful work from them. Ooh, we have a little bit of feedback on Twitter about this episode that just aired, Catfish, episode 9.
Love it.
What do people say?
Endless Mike at Endless Mike 03 said, I missed Damon, but understood why he wasn't in it. Rhaenys crashing through the palace didn't make much sense.
Yeah, well, obviously we've seen that the dragons have a way to get out of the dragon pit other than up through the floor. But she was upset. She had been kept hostage for a bit in her room, so that's not great. Catfish, you did only go 7 out of 10. Do you think if Damon had been in it, you might have liked the episode more?
I mean, this is just pure setup. We got Damon coming back next week.
Oh yeah, big time, I would assume. Nicholas Fortuna, at Nicholas Fortuna on Twitter, said the show officially began tonight. Holy smokes. Wow. I was anxious the whole episode. Ooh, so I think Nick liked it better than us. I'm really excited about that. He says, I think I hit every emotion.
Just and... like Laris.
And Nick writes,
Otto Hightower might be the slimiest character in the A Song of Ice and Fire universe.
Oh, wow.
Lord Draggyfoot running a close second. We've talked about Otto a bit and Lara certainly a bit. Are they the slimiest characters? Is there anybody from the first show who you thought was slimier? I mean, this is pretty...
Come on, Littlefinger, come on.
I know that people don't like hearing this, but I do think Otto Hightower in a lot of ways is an awful lot like Tywin Lannister. The actor read Tywin Lannister lines when he was auditioning for this, and we never saw this part of Tywin, but I certainly think when he made his decision to flip sides and have his troops sack King's Landing, and then, you know, his son stabs the Mad King in the back on the show, and then he has his daughter marry Robert. I really do think this is very Tywin Lannister like, but we just didn't see that part of Tywin Lannister's arsenal because the show is set 17 years after the fall of King's Landing. So, you know, we're seeing the sliminess because we're here in it.
Yeah, I mean, Littlefinger. Oh,
yeah.
It's to me, it's always Littlefinger, okay. And I love him for it. All right, so we had some feedback about episode 8. Again, We had Dooley's Left Legs. He said, Mrs. Left Legs says, thank you for the mention, guys. I'm shocked Bubba only gave it a 7, but I'm so glad he loved the pig moment.
Oh, no, I just realized. That means I've given 2 episodes in a row 7 out of 10. Ugh. Once again, who cares what I think, listeners? I hope you loved it way more than I did.
All right, and Likely Seth says, my rating was a bit high, but that's how I felt leaving the episode. Coming back to thinking about those first 10 to 15 minutes, 8.5. I think we convinced him that the first few minutes of the episode was a lot of exposition of last week's episode.
Yeah, but let me say, Seth, if you loved it, don't let us talk you down. We don't want to destroy something you love. So, yeah, I had problems with those first 10 to 15 minutes of exposition, but I hope, once again, I hope I don't influence anybody. If you love it, love it.
I am Team Green. That means I like influencing people.
Okay. We got this great feedback from @Patman23 on Twitter. Patman writes great articles on Watchers on the Wall, the site that covers House of the Dragon, Game of Thrones. Be sure to read Patman's wonderful articles and follow Patman on Twitter @Patman23. And he gave us a great bit of feedback. He said, I really enjoyed hearing the Joffrey podcast this morning when you listened to it. He said, I'm equally fans of Bubba and Catfish. But I was pleased that Catfish eloquently made the case for R.I.P. Vaemond. Justice for Vaemond. I think Vaemond was fairly well established as far as secondary characters go. They posed him as an antagonist to Daemon in episode 3, and his eulogy for Laena in episode 7 positioned Vaemond as someone ready to challenge Lucerys' standing in the succession. So his involvement in episode 8 was a natural progression of that. I don't think the show has to get me too invested in these characters personally for me to recognize that they have an impact on the story or the characters. I felt the same way about Jory Cassell in Game of Thrones, who wasn't in many scenes, but I felt his death at Jaime's hands in episode 5 of season 1 is relevant rather than some rando Stark bannerman. But then he says that he admits Jory is not an ideal comparison because we know about Ned's regard for Jory and his crush on Sansa had for Jory in the books. Now Jory took care of Arya after his grace was ambushed by Arya's bloodthirsty monster wolf. Oh, wonderful. Wonderful feedback. And once again, Patman, I don't want you to come to my side. I'm just going to say how I felt about that.
I mean, listen, Patman always brings the receipts.
Oh, he does.
You can't challenge Patman.
Once again, I'm not trying to convince him. I'm just trying to say how I felt. And that I felt in season 1 of Game of Thrones, Jory, who did die in episode 5, spoiler if you haven't seen Game of Thrones, but Jory, they did have moments of Jory, you know, by himself talking to someone and kind of saying how he felt. So there was a scene of him. I believe it got added because those first season episodes were so short. So I think they just wrote a scene of Jory talking to Jaime Lannister. They also, right before Jory died, they gave him a real human moment of staring at a beautiful woman in Littlefinger's brothel. And so you kind of connected with him on the line of, okay, he's human just like us. He sees a pretty woman and he stares at her. And so when he died a few minutes after that, to me, that's why his death had a bit of an emotional impact, where Vaemond, because I didn't really feel like we knew him too much, and we really hadn't had a scene, a one-on-one scene of Vaemond talking to somebody, before the episode where he lost half his head. And so I'm glad you felt that way. I just didn't. So.
All right. And Jack Klompas at BT Mac 11 says, can't tell if Council of Catfish is from King's Landing or from Augusta National.
Augusta, Georgia is just no place to be.
You know, maybe Council of Catfish will try to do Miss Sylvia's accent. Oh, next no. Week.
Oh, Council of Catfish is from across the narrow sea somewhere. Oh, my goodness gracious. More episode 8 feedback on YouTube. Someone on YouTube named Moosheep wrote, your podcast is as important as the show itself. And then gave us clapping.
Hell yeah.
Oh, wow. They wrote, I'm a bit surprised that there appear to be some questions online about the King Viserys actually having died. Will we see a funeral or skip past that? So we did. I mean, we really didn't see a funeral. We saw the Silent Sisters preparing his body. We did have a moment of Alicent, who really did. She was sad. So don't you think this at the very least shows that Alicent did care about Viserys Catfish? We'll get back to Moosheep's feedback in a bit.
But she did. But it's funny that it didn't strike me until now that of all the things we did see, the constant searching low and lower for Aegon, there was no big celebration. It was a rush to anoint Aegon instead of a celebration of Viserys.
That is for sure. And let me tell you, that crowd at Aegon's coronation, those were polite claps at very early. You know, they didn't really get into it too early.
There was silence and then golf claps and then more claps.
Right.
I thought for a while that they were a paid audience.
Now, let me say that Moosheep feels a bit different from Susan Stacy. Moosheep wrote that on the Rings of Power, Moosheep says, I watch it, but I don't manage to be as attentive, and he's not feeling the stakes as much. So, Moosheep, hopefully you got through the end of the first season, and there's certainly some big things at the end of the first season without any spoilers. Hope you liked it. Ooh, Catfish, we got a review of an older episode, episode 7 from Sebastian. What did they write?
All right, they said, on the topic, who's to blame for the kid fight?
Oh, in this case, they meant the fight between Aemon and the other children where Aemon lost an eye.
He said, blame the little bees who could have asked their dad or tell him someone stole their mother's dragon. I don't even believe in that concept because how does one steal a dragon? You can't. And they also had no business waking him up.
Dang.
I mean, I appreciate the... How do I say this? They feel it.
Sebastian is stone cold.
So Sebastian is feeling it. And I love when someone gets impassioned.
Heck yeah.
I love it.
Hey, we got 2 new reviews on Apple Podcasts, and we are so thankful for these. These are very helpful. Definitely subscribe. Subscribe is the big thing, whether it's YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. But reviews are also wonderful. And we got a 5-star review from somebody who's called Sir Dick Titos, I think is how it would be pronounced. 5 stars, rebirth of a lifetime. They wrote, just as the gods are good, this canon podcast cannot be killed. Like our Lord and Savior, Sir King Prince Joffrey, whom is reborn and rises like a phoenix, this podcast has been reborn stronger and faster than before. 3 words. Finger looking good. That's a match game answer. Oh, thank you so much.
I think that was my match game answer. I'm very proud of myself. All right. Oh, and we got a review from Grumpy Gobert. The title is Podcasting Excellence.
Ooh.
2 very best friends bring their encyclopedic knowledge of all things the Song of Ice and Fire to you with love, warmth, laughter, and improv. By the end of your first episode, you either find yourself breathless with laughter, brimming with newfound thoughts and emotions, or curled up in a heap in the corner questioning every life decision you've made that led you to this point. Oh. Either way, Love and Catfish will be there to hold your hand and make you a proud double L.
Double L?
Loyal listener.
Oh my goodness. Grumpy Gobert, you are the absolute best. Oh my goodness gracious. Oh my goodness gracious. Now, Catfish, we're going to read an answer we got from last week's episode. All right, hey, we do have one answer from last week's match game. You ready for it, Catfish?
Oh my God, I'm ready for it. Let's have it.
Aggravating Aemond is so aggravating.
How aggravating is he?
At family dinners, he always makes sure to talk about his cryptocurrency startup.
Oh!
Is that the worst? A lot of people have been to some great family dinners with terrible topics. I love that. As you know, that's from our Hall of Famer for his
That's right, Hall of Fame.
It's Satan Claus at Claus Sons, plural, on Twitter. Thank you very much.
Man, we appreciate that. It is great. Bubba?
Yeah.
Even though we've got 12 other shows we're podcasting about, there's only one more episode.
Episode 10, The Black Queen, obviously titled after Rhaenyra, who leads the Blacks versus Alicent's Greens. What do you want to see in it, Catfish? What do you need to see in this final episode? Since we both were only 7 out of 10 on this one, what do you need to see? What do you want to see?
I need to see somebody go down.
Ooh.
I'm going
to
say...
Anybody you want to see go down?
Yeah, absolutely. Aegon, because I want it to be Aemond... No. I had read something somewhere that I thought was very smart, that it seems clear that Aemond is kind of trying to pattern himself on Daemon.
Same hairstyle, for sure.
Same hairstyle and just being a fighter, etc. Yeah, so I'm ready for Aemond to take over, because he is not going to take no S from nobody.
Oh, heck no. My name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter to attack me for my terrible answers in the Magic Game this week at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter.
And I'm a Catfish. You can hit me up at CJGman67 on Twitter. And you'll hear us next week on this last episode for season one of the Joffrey of Podcast.
I'm telling Mother.